Shalom to all. Today's Officer Shalom Sachem Daf Mem Vavil. We're starting Mem Hamud Beis about 5 lines off from the bottom with the words Al Shalosh Yedvarim Al Hilo Mibavel. And Vilna Shur Staff is at the end of Lamed Tes Amud Beis. And today's Office sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Merim Sar Bas Biakav Moshe Herne Shama Shad Havin Aliyah. So we have quite a long discussion regarding Hillel and the Bnei B'Seira, who were the Nesim of Eretz Yisrael, until they actually handed that over to Hillel because he answered a question that they did not have the answer to. And now we're explaining why Hillel was in Eretz Yisrael in the first place. And that's what the Gemara tells us. Al Shalosh Yedvarim Al Hilo Mibavel. There are 3 reasons why Hillel came up from Bavel. He had 3 questions, answered them on his own, and he wanted to double check that he was correct by asking Shmaya and Avtalion, who were in Eretz Yisrael, and that's why he came up. Drasha number 1 is about Saras. Let's read the full pasuk inside first before we continue. The pasuk tells us, "Ve'im be'in of Amana Nesek." If the Nesek, which is a type of Saras, stood in his eyes, meaning it didn't change, the kohen looked at it and he saw that nothing changed from last time he saw it, "Beseir Shachar Tzomach Boy," and some black hair sprouted in it, "Nirpa HaNesek," this Nesek, this Saras, has been healed, "Taharu," it's Tahar, "B'tiyarei HaKohen," and the kohen is Metaharit. So the Gemara tells us, Tahar Hu, that's what the pasuk says, Yachal Yifter V'yachloi, you might think the now person could just go because it's Tahar, Tam Lemer V'tiyara HaKayin, that's why the pasuk says that the Kayin is Metaharit. Now, V'tiyara HaKayin, if the pasuk just said V'tiyara HaKayin, Yachal, you might think, Im Amra HaKayin Al Tamei Tahar, Yehei Tahar, if the Kayin said about something which is Tamei, that it's really Tahar, Tam Lemer, that's why the pasuk also says, Tahar Hu V'tiyara HaKayin, it's a double Lashain, that it is Tahar and the Kayin is Metaharit, meaning you have to have both. It has to objectively be Tahar, but that's not enough. The Kayin also has to officially proclaim it as Tahar in order for the person to be Tahar. Mem Vav Amud Aleph on top, Al Zeh Al Hillel Mibavel. Regarding this drasha, to check whether or not it's correct, is one of the reasons why Hillel came up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael to ask Shmaya and Avtalion. Here's another drasha. Kasav Echarim, one pasuk says, V'zavachta Pesach Hashem Lekecha Tzoyin U'Bakar. So it's mashma, the Karim Pesach is able to be from Bakar, from cattle. But because of Echarim, another pasuk says, Mina Kvasu Mina Izim Tikachu, that it's only allowed to be taken from Kvasu Mina Izim, sheep and goats, clearly excluding cattle. Haketzad, how do we understand this? The answer is, Tzoyin LePesach, but Tzoyin U'Bakar LeChagiga. Then we're dealing with the Karim Pesach itself, it's only had to be from tzayin, from the flock, which is sheep or goat. Whereas when we're dealing with the carbon chagiga, which is another carbon brought along with the carbon pesach, it's just a carbon for yontif, that could also be from bakar. And here's the third limud, kasav echadimer, one pasuk says, sheish yosayim techa matzos, 6 days eat matzos, because of echadimer, another pasuk says, shivas yom matzos techelu, 7 days eat matzos. Okay, so how do we understand this? And the answer is, shishimana chadash, shishimana yashan, 6 days matzah could be from chadash, from new grain, but 7 days from yashan. We know that on the second day of pesach is when we bring the carbon oimer, and only from then and on can we eat brand new grain, which is called Chadash. There were also 7 days of Pesach, matzah could be made out of Yashan, the old grain, or it's only 6 days of Pesach, meaning from the second day and on, is matzah able to be made from Yashan. And Vidarsh, Hill Darshin these, Vihiskim, and he concluded that these are good Joshas, Va'Allah, and he went up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, V'Kibal Lacha, and he accepted the Halacha from Shmaya and Avtalion, double checking that this in truth is the proper Joshua and this is the correct Halacha. And now going back to explain the Mishnah, we had said Micha Kravav that the cleaning out of the insides of the Karim Pesach is Doicha Shabbos. Now the question is why? So on Riechen, the answer is, the Pasuk tells us, Kol Pal Hashem L'maneu, that every action of Hashem is for him. In other words, we always want to bring kavod to Hashem through our actions, and that's the reason why it's mutter to do michoy kravav, which is cleaning out the insides of all the bad smelling stuff that's in them, and that's mutter because shelo yener kenot leimurim mitach zevach menovel, so they shouldn't look like the imurim, the insides are being taken from a zevach menovel. If it's left in the insides and it's left in the Karim Pesach, it makes a Karim Pesach menovel, and that's why it's Doicha Shabbos. Now we continue talking about another part of the process of removing the imurim, the insides, which is hefshit, that's flaying, that's stripping the Karim Pesach of its skin. That's the only way to get to the insides is by doing that. So Tanur Bishmol or Bishmol Tanur Brisa have Sheitoi Deiches Hashabbos, the hefshit, the flaying, the stripping of the skin of the Karim Pesach is Deiches Hashabbos, which means he can be mafshit the entire Karim Pesach. Whereas Tanur Bishmol Benoishol Rechem Breika Aimer, we have a Brisa. There Bishmol, the son of Rabbi Yechon Breika, he says that Bishabbos how you mafshit is a chazeh. That on Shabbos they only flay up until the chazeh, up until the chest, because that's how you access the imurim through the chest. But more than that, they're not allowed to do because that's not necessary. And the remainder of the hefshit of the flaying of the Pesach is done Matzei Shabbos. Now the question is, Matam Rabbi Bishmol, what's Rabbi Bishmol's reasoning? Why is he makel that hefshit of the entire Karim Pesach is permitted on Shabbos? The answer is shleihei near k'not le'murim tach zech menovel. So it shouldn't look like taking murim from zech menovel. If the Karim Pesach is only half flayed, it's half mufshit, that's like a zech menovel. So therefore, you do the whole thing on Shabbos. Now the question is, ma'avler b'shmol b'nei shor b'richam reka. So has a second opinion, b'shmol b'nei shor b'richam reka. How does he answer that? The answer is mitach shu haifchai. Since he turns over the Karim Pesach, ain't k'not le'murim tach zech menovel. It's not like taking the murim from zech menovel because you're basically only flaying a very small part of the carbon in order to get the murim out. So it looks like it's completely unflayed. So according to him, it's not considered a zevach menovel. Now Rabbi Yechon explains that Rabbi Shmuel b'nei Shmuel b'Rechem Reika amru davar echad. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shmuel b'nei Shmuel b'Rechem Reika, these two man amrim, they really in essence say the same thing. However, this really has to do with a different halacha. Come on, Rabbi Shmuel amar, just like Rabbi Shmuel says, mufcher daiche ein mufcher mina mufcher daiche. That only mufcher, the choicest, is daiche, but the choicest of the choicest is not daiche. We'll explain this in a moment. Kach Rabbi Shmuel b'nei Shmuel b'Rechem Reika aimer. So Rabbi Shmuel b'nei Shmuel b'Rechem Reika says mufcher daiche ein mufcher mina mufcher daiche. That only mufcher is daiche, but not mufcher mina Namavchar. Now, what's this din of Rabbi Shmuel? So it's referring to the Karban Omer, which we had said is brought the second day of Pesach, and it is Doicha Shabbos. We are able to cut down the barley necessary for it and grind it and sift it into the proper flour. However, there's a difference between when it's done during the week and on Shabbos. During the week, we cut 5 saw in order to sift it down till we get the finest flour, which is the total of an Isaroin, which means we're sifting down 5 saw to an Isaroin, and so it's being sifted really finely. That's called Mufchar Mina Mufchar. However, when it's done on Shabbos, we're only allowed to do it Mufchar. We cut 3 saw and we sift it down to an Isaroin, so we're doing it very solidly, very good. It's Mufchar, but it's not Mufchar Mina Mufchar. It's 3 saw instead of 5 saw. And that's Rabbi Shmuel ben Eshel B'Yechon Breka holds over here, that we only do partial Hefshet of the Karban Pesach, not a full Hefshet. Partial Hefshet is considered Mufchar, full Hefshet is Mufchar Mina Mufchar. As the Gemara, Inter Mufchar Hu, if you want to say the Quantum Shmuel ben Eshel B'Yechon Breka, that you're only allowed to do it in a way that's Mufchar, but not Mufchar Mina Mufchar, so we have a different suggestion. Yikra'enu V'yotzei Murav. Why doesn't he just tear it open and take out the Emurim? Why does he allow flaying it, doing a partial Hefshet, which is actually peeling away a lot of the skin in order to get to the insides? Why not just take a knife right where the Emurim are, cut the stomach of the animal open, and take out the Emurim that way without doing any Hefshet? That would be considered Mufchar because it's taking out the Emurim, you're accomplishing what you need to do, and he shouldn't even be allowed to do a partial Hefshet. So Amar B'Yisr Bun, he answers, Loi Asya Ela Krib Shemen. It must be there. Rabbi Shmuel ben Eshel B'Yechon Breka holds a Krib Shemen. The Tanu, we have a Braisa. The Tanakama says, Hagayrer, somebody who smooths out, Hakadech, someone who makes a hole, Hakoitze, someone cuts, Kol Shehu, even just a little bit, B'Shabbos on Shabbos, Chayiv is Chayiv. This is the Tanakama, the Chachamim, who hold that even a partial Malacha is considered like a whole Malacha and he'd be Chayiv for it, even though he just did a little bit, a Kol Shehu, he's still Chayiv for that. Whereas Manfa Von Bez on top, Rav Shimon Elazar Aymer, he says that Hagayrer, if a person's smoothing out, Achiyagar Kol Tzarchai, he has to smooth out as much as he needs to do, and Hakadech, if he's making a hole, Achiyiktach Kol Tzarchai, he has to make the hole as much as he needs, and Hakoitze, if he's cutting something, Achiyiktach Kol Tzarchai, he has to cut as much as he needs in order to be chai for that. And Vama Abed is Ha'ar, when he's tanning hide, Achi Abed Kol Tzarchai, he has to tan it, he has to process it as much as he needs, not just a little bit. So we clearly see the Reb Shimon hold that a partial malacha is not considered a whole malacha, and that's who Reb Shmuel ben Eshel B'Yechon Breka is holding, like that doing partial hefshit is perfectly fine because it's not considered like a full fledged hefshit. And Reb Yaakov Racha says the same thing, Loi Asya El Reb Shimon, the Reb Shmuel ben Eshel B'Yechon Breka holds a Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon Loi Aved Mixes Malacha Kula, Reb Shimon does not treat a partial malacha like a full one, whereas Rabbanon of the Mixes Malacha Kula, Rabbanon hold that a partial malacha is like a whole one. Now we just take this a step further, even though it's not really related to our Sugi Maseches Pesachim, it's really related to that Sugi over there, Maseches Shabbos, going on Shitas Tanakama, the Chachamim, that a partial malacha is considered like a full one. Now Reb Shimon Gamliel takes this a step further because he holds that if a person is Makayu Imakurnas ala Sadon, let's say he's a blacksmith and he takes the hammer that he's flattening out the iron with or he's making a kli with and he hits it on the Sadon, on the anvil, which is like a big solid piece of metal that's set off to the side of him, and that's all he does. He just hits the hammer on the anvil. He's not touching the kli with it. He's chayiv for that. And the lashon over there is mipneishu me'amin es yadav. That's because he's practicing or preparing his hand to do the next blow on the kli, and he's chayiv even for that little blow on the anvil. So if a kashal Reb Shimon Gamliel, there's a kashal Reb Shimon Gamliel. Ilu nata liktzar v'loy kotzar. If a person took a sickle or an axe in order to cut something, but he didn't end up cutting anything, shema klumhu, is that anything? Is he going to be chayiv for that? No. So why is it that when he takes the hammer and he hits it on the anvil, and that's really just to practice? That's really just to get himself ready for hitting the actual kli. Why should he be chayv for that? He didn't do a malacha. He just hit it on the anvil. His Amarav, he answers, Asi Reb Shimon Gamliel k'Reb Yuda. Reb Shimon Gamliel is like Reb Yuda. The Tanu v'Braisa, Ashevet v'hamakat kid al ha'arig, harei z'chayiv. If a person does one of these two things, this has to do with the weaving process. One of them is straightening the threads. Another one is loosening the threads. So he's chayiv. Why is that? M'neshu k'miyasha b'yadai. Because it's b'miyasha b'yadai. Even though he's not actually weaving, he's fixing whatever is on the loom in order to be able to continue weaving, because if he doesn't do this right now, if he doesn't loosen the threads or set them up properly, so then the continuation of his weaving is going to be ruined. So this in and of itself is considered a malacha. And v'hach over here, when he strikes the hammer on the anvil, he's also chayiv m'neshu k'miyasha b'yadai, because it's not like what we explained before, that he's just practicing hitting the hammer so he does it on the anvil. An absolutely necessary part of him making the kli is banging the hammer on the anvil, because that helps engage how strong or weak of a blow he has to make to the kli itself. So therefore, the bang on the anvil is also considered part of the malacha, even though it seems like he's not doing anything, it's part of the malacha, and that's why he's chayiv. And continue to explain the Mishnah, we had said about Hector Chalavav, the burning the fat of the Karban Pesach is Doicha Shabbos. Now we continue talking about burning fats of another Karban, which is the Chagiga. We had mentioned this Karban on Amud Aleph, and the Pasuk tells us, Lo yalin chelev chagi ad baiker. Don't let the chelev, the fat of my chag, my Karban Chagiga, stay over until the morning. Which is mashma that the fats of the Karban Chagiga are able to be brought the entire Pesach night. He just has to make sure that they don't stay over to the first morning of Pesach. The question is, a murim of a carbon that was shechted during the week, are allowed to be brought on Yom Tif, the Karmar Chagiga was shechted Erev Pesach, which is weekday, and so how could it be that the fats are allowed to be brought on Pesach night, which is Yom Tif? We're not allowed to bring the fats of a carbon that was shechted during the week on Yom Tif. So Rav Ovi answers that no, ki Yom Tif, we could establish what's this referring to, when the 14th is on Shabbos, so the Chagiga is a Shabbos carbon, and its fats are allowed to be brought Matzah Shabbos, which is Yom Tif, and that's what we're referring to. However, Rav Yoin asked on this, how could you give such an explanation? If the 14th, if Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbos, ain't Chagiga ba imai, the Karma Chagiga doesn't come with it, meaning the Karma Chagiga is not doing Shabbos at all. The Karma Chagiga is only brought when Erev Pesach is during the week, not when it's on Shabbos. So therefore, we need a different answer, and this is Rabbi Yoina's answer. Amar Torah, the Torah is simply saying, Hekriveu ba'id yoim, make sure to bring the fats of the Chagiga while it's still daytime, Erev Pesach, it's during the week, shalla yavle de baltalin, so there's no Isra baltalin. In other words, there's three stages. There's when the Karma Chagiga is being shechted, which is Erev Pesach, then there's Pesach night, and then there's the first day of Pesach in the morning. So Shechet Karim Pesach, Erev Pesach, and that's when the fats are supposed to be brought. Then there's a buffer zone or no man zone, which is Pesach night. The Murim are not allowed to be brought, but he's still not over Baal Talin yet. He's not over for not having brought them. It's only in the morning that he's over Baal Talin. And that's all the Pasuk is saying, Lo Yalon Chel Chagi Ad Baiker, make sure not to leave a Chalavim until the morning. In other words, bring them before Pesach starts, so you're not over Baal Talin, Pesach in the morning. Now the Gemara continues with a similar concept, V'hach over here, Hekrevein Bad Yoim, bring him Bad Yoim, Shalai Tavlo De Baal Ta'acher, so you're not over Baal Ta'acher. Now this has to do with Nedarim. We know that if a person takes upon himself a neder that he's going to bring a certain carbon to the base of Mikdash, he has three Yomim Tavim to bring it. So let's say he made that neder right after Shavuos. He has the upcoming Sukkot, Pesach, and then Shavuos in order to bring it. And if he doesn't bring it by that next Shavuos, he's over Baal Ta'acher, which is the Isser of delaying bringing a neder after Shavuos passes. Essentially the same question, because he's not over Baal Ta'acher for not bringing his carbon before Shavuos, he has up until Shavuos. Now on Shavuos itself, he's not able to bring the carbon because one's not allowed to bring a personal carbon on Shavuos, and he's only over Baal Ta'acher afterwards. And that's exactly what we're saying. It's not a stira, it's the same concept. Make sure to bring your carbon that you promised you'd bring before Shavuos, because if not, you're right, there's this buffer zone of Shavuos where you're not allowed to bring the carbon, but you're not yet over Baal Ta'acher. But after Shavuos, you will be over Baal Ta'acher. So just make sure to bring it before Shavuos. Now back to our discussion, we have another answer of what the pasuk is telling us. Lo yalon chel chagiyad baiker. Rav Chinna says, ilu aver vehevi. If a person was over and he brought the chalavim of the carbon chagiga on Yom Tov night itself, shema ina kosher. What is it not kosher? Of course it's kosher. Me'achar she'ilu aver vehevi kosher. Since if he were to be over and he were to bring the fats of the chagiga Pesach night, even though he wasn't supposed to, it's still kosher. He's right to bring the emurim over. So then it makes sense that the pasuk's telling us that he's going to be over Pesach morning if he hadn't brought the fats by then. And we want the next part of Mishnah where we said avot tzliyos havedachos krovav einon doichen, that roasting the carbon Pesach and washing out the insides is not doicha Shabbos. Now we have a question, Taninon. We learned earlier in Mishnah that when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, everyone shechs their carbon Pesach and then they just stay there. What do they do? Chashecha. Only once it gets dark, once it becomes Matzei Shabbos, yotzev it's also b'schein, then they'd go out and roast their karbanos. And you're saying this. Why does our Mishnah need to say that roasting the carbon Pesach is not doicha Shabbos? We already know that from our previous Mishnah. When Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, we only shecht it, but then we just have to wait till Matzei Shabbos to roast it. So what's our Mishnah saying? And the answer is, l'shilu shalatanur, our Mishnah is adding a chedesh that he's not allowed to even lower the carbon Pesach into the oven in order to prepare it for roasting on Matzei Shabbos. Even that is considered part of the roasting process, if you will, and that is also usur on Shabbos. Alternatively, which is really a continuation of the Mishnah, that this part of the Mishnah that we just quoted is not a chedesh, and obviously we know we're not allowed to roast it on Shabbos. It's really for the next part of the Mishnah, l'har kavoy v'avasim chutz ha'tchum, to putting it on his shoulders and bringing it from outside the tchum, that's the main chedesh of the Mishnah, and that's the only reason why we brought that he's not allowed to roast it on Shabbos, even though again, that's not such a chedesh. Now we just explained this, lo amar el chutz l'Yerushalayim, this was only said, the Karm Pesach is not allowed to be brought on Shabbos from outside Yerushalayim, because that's outside the tchum. Ha chutz la'azara, mutter, but bringing it from outside the Azara is permitted, mishum shvos shetir mikdash, because it's only an Isra d'Rabbanon bringing it from Yerushalayim into the Azara, and we know that a lot of Yisrael d'Rabbanon are mutter in the Beis HaMikdash, and this is one of them. It would be permitted to bring it from Yerushalayim into the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to explain the Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.